This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
'Welcome to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host, the Twitterless heroine herself, ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants, the most professional podcaster, the pop punk princess, and most importantly, the queen of soft style, Million Dollar Miranda Morales, your host of the Hashtag Miranda Show, which you can find exclusively on TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, we are.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I feel like I had a sixth sense that something was about to happen. And here we are. But we are back. Yes, I say we because I am going. Not by Adam Cole, which would be amazing if that would be true, but no, I'm being joined by someone even better, and that is the producer of the Hashtag Miranda Show. He is the kingpin of thechairshot.com, the unstoppable one, the king of shit takes, and if you didn't know, he's also a wrestling promoter, the Reverend Greg DeMarco.
I have to get these in, like we're not doing the next 2 weeks, and so I gotta get as many of these in as possible.
Of course you have to, yes. We've been, you know, on an off and on recording schedule due to lots of life obligations, right? And we'll be taking a little bit of a break as we head into the end of the year.
No one likes some of them,
which is why we're going to be focusing on a special topic this year. But of course, yes, Greg just is trigger happy with the buttons. So we're going to be getting, I'm sure, an extra load of button bar action tonight.
You will. You're not gonna do it when you want it.
Dramatic, but well, I don't know. I just thought that was a great spot for me.
I still don't have all the full complement of sound bites, and there's so many things that I want to get. Maybe with the downtime coming up for the holidays, I can put together some. I probably won't. I'll live my life and have fun. But
yeah, as you should, as we all should, over the next few weeks, we all should just have fun and relax. Enjoy.
Especially because I'm enamored with all things Swerve. Like Swerve is just so fantastic in everything that he does. So I announce my son's soccer games. I'm like the PA announcer. And I also do the music during that. Like we play music after the goals and stuff like that. And so the pregame music, I start off like I have some different pregame things that I start off with. And as soon as I begin, like you plug in, it's like 40 minutes before the game starts. And so everybody's warming up. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting here. And all of a sudden, you just. And they don't even know what it is. They have no idea what I'm playing. None whatsoever. But it's so catchy. And you need Prince Nana.
That's what I'm going to say. You do need Prince Nana.
When I drive, See, I can do it.
Throw in a little Daniel Garcia.
No. So
just the Daniel Garcia dance moves.
I mean, the what Nana does, the third iteration of his dance kind of is the same. So anyway, there's more to that story, believe it or not. So I played it for my daughter and I showed it to her because of Nana's dance. And she thinks Nana's hilarious. She doesn't know who the hell any of these people are. Like, she knows John Cena and that's it in the world of pro wrestling. So, cause all the kids know John Cena. Like,
that's true.
He's an icon to the youngins. But when I pick her up from dance, which is our Monday ritual, we listen to certain music on the way home. We have a playlist. And she had a song she wanted to add. And we're big fans of Ludacris in the car. So she found this other song she wanted to add. She goes, yeah, can you add this song? And she goes, and can you add Swerve?
Ah!
So Swerve is now.
That's crossover appeal.
So Swerve is now a part of the car playlist.
That's how
that
you know
we do.
You made it.
Right, so there you go. Congratulations, Swerve! You made it to the daughter's playlist. She doesn't know who that you're. She knows you're a pro wrestler because she saw the video of the full gear entrance that went viral with Nana and the dancers and all that. But that's it. She doesn't give a lick about who he is as a pro wrestler. She just. I don't even think she knows he's in the song. Like that he's one of the people rapping in the song. But yeah, it's good shit. But it's. Yeah. There's a great interview out there if you haven't sought it out with Swerve and Chris Van Vliet where he talks about Nana and his role and how all that just kind of was happenstance. And I guess there's a moment that I didn't see in one of the matches where Swerve's like all hurt and the referee's checking on him and Nana goes like flying by doing his little dance to like distract people. Yeah. No, I, as an old school fan of Ring of Honor, when Nana was like part of it as a manager with the embassy and everything, like it just makes me so happy to know that he finally made it and it just took a silly dance. Wrestling's so weird, man.
Wrestling really is yeah, sometimes it's the strangest thing, you know.
It is like
reminds
like,
me too of, yeah, of Akira Tozawa right now,
uh-huh,
being over, mm-hmm, with
it's with almost the same dance getting,
yeah.
The one thing I do love is the fact that Swerve had this song made separately from wrestling. So when he invariably shows back up in WWE, he keeps the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing now. You take the songs with you. And you know, if he were to come back to WWE, why do I think of these things? If he comes back to WWE, I bet his name is just the word Swerve.
It's just Swerve, yep.
He's not going to be Isaiah Swerve Scott, but they're not going to go back to Strickland either. He'll probably show up and just be called Swerve. Because what else do you need? Like, stop overcomplicating. There's another funny anecdote. Then I'll, you know, let you put the train back on the tracks. There was somebody on social media at some point, I think it was on Twitter, who made this tweet, and it was like, it was when Lola Vice was winning the breakout tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, so let me make sure I get this straight. She has a fat ass and does MMA. And all of us were like, don't overcomplicate things. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
What more do you need? Like,
yeah,
like stop.
WWE is still WWE.
And then like, they're like, oh, this is horrible. And I'm like, do you remember why people like Nikita Lyons? It ain't because she could wrestle.
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't really that good. Like, Lola Vice is probably already better than Nikita Lyons. So like just don't try to make it what it isn't. Like, just don't overcomplicate things. Like, some things, just keep it simple and let it be.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. You can have your show back now.
Well, you know, we're talking about
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I had to, but I'm done.
You had to.
I had to.
For today's show, we are going to be covering 2023. And that means, too, we're going to be doing a list. Yes, the infamous list format in which Greg and I are each going to be picking three things from 2023 in the world of pro wrestling, and then we will organize it and rank them.
So what are we doing? Say it again. We're doing what?
The list.
You just made the list!
See, I was bad producer earlier, so I had to make you re-say it.
You just made the list!
And, you know, I'm letting things be very open-ended. So this could be best things, worst things, matches, moments, you know, in the ring, out the ring, whatever we want. Just pro wrestling in the world that is in the great year of 2023. that is what we're going to be talking about.
And that's how it should be, by the way. Like, that's how it should be. It should be very open-ended because wrestling doesn't fit into any one bucket. Or it shouldn't fit.
I mean,
people try to
do categorical things, which a lot of people, if you've already seen, have that. You have the best matches. You have the best moments. You have the most dramatic moments. You have the most watch moments. All of that. We're just going to wrap all of that together and say, fuck it. We're going to just do whatever we want. So we're doing the full gambit of pro wrestling in 2023.
Which is a lot of shit. Like to get it down to six, there's going to be, listen, if you're listening right now, and I know you are, don't get mad at us when we leave your thing off. Because we're going to be leaving everybody's things off. Because there's only six that we can put on here, which is three for each of us.
And again, you may have yours, but then two. We're not categorizing anything, so we're not saying the best, the most, the worst, the, you know, we're not just doing one thing. We're doing all the things today. So make sure you stay tuned to this week's episode because we're going to be doing all the things on our 2023 list.
Yeah, we are.
But before we get to that, though, it's that holiday season time. Hey, you may be trying to get some last minute gifts.
You might.
You might. And a good place to do that
is
this little website, which I would love to tell you about, Greg, but I'm going to need you to do me a favor. Yeah. Go ahead and wind it up. Yes, it's indeed time for you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own IZW, that is Impact Zone Wrestling, and thechairshot.com t-shirts. Yes, this is a wonderful time of year to go pick up your t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There you're going to find a ton of great designs in support of IZW, as well as thechairshot.com, so you get not only one but two cool organizations that you can support. You're going to find a ton of great, awesome t-shirt designs where you can customize in different colors as well as different what styles. Yes, meaning you can get any t-shirt style in soft style. So go ahead, look good and feel good when you order your t-shirts from prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. While you're at it, why don't you go pick up a few of our favorites like the Everybody Hates Greg t-shirt and the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And of course, everything in between, some OG Chairshot logos, multiple IZW logos, the Always Use Your Head logos, and even all the niche shirts there at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead, do it now while supplies last. And there's lots of supplies because that's what they do. But you still want to do that.
They put them on demand, so there's really no supply issues.
Yes. but they don't know that. So let's just, you know.
Kayfabe, my bad. Kayfabe.
Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Acknowledge me.
You just made the list.
So we've made it to this portion of the show where we are going to be starting our list of pro wrestling in 2023. Greg, if you wouldn't mind doing the honors and explaining to our lovely listeners, what are the rules of the list? What format are we going to be following to compile said list?
I guess I should, since I invented it someday. Or I probably stole it from somewhere and don't even remember. I doubt I invented it.
That's fine. It doesn't matter if you stole it.
So there's six items that make the list, and we tell them all congratulations.
All right, gentlemen. Wait, there we go. You just made the list.
And in doing so, we have to first compile the list. So we have to put six items on the list. So we will take turns. It's Miranda's list, so I will go first. We will alternate putting our six things on the list. Then we'll go to commercial. Then we'll come back from commercial. And we will take turns once again, putting them in order from one through six. Miranda will go first. She will determine what's number one. I'll go second. all the way through to number six. We don't have to pick our own. We could pick the other person's. It's totally fine. Doesn't matter. We're just making a list. It's not a best of list. It's not a worst of list. It's just a list. We could do this again tomorrow and have a different list. We could do it again next week and have a different list. It's on Tuesday, December 19th. This is what we're putting on the list.
And that's what we're doing. So we are going to get started with our list of 2023. So because I came up with the topic, Greg gets to pick first.
So I am going to go with an obvious one and one of the biggest ones as well. Because love him or hate him, you couldn't get through 2023 without him. So I am putting on your big, the 2023 big list, the moment that many thought we would never see, but then when it came, we all figured we were going to see it. CM Punk returns to WWE.
Yes. I can imagine that being everybody's list.
Because and you're right it's, about we never thought we would see it.
We never thought we would see it, but we also knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, we hit that point. By the time Survivor Series rolled around, it would have been a bigger surprise if he didn't show up. Yes. So.
And I think that's fair, you know, from someone who spent almost, a clear decade talking shit about WWE to coming back and saying, I'm home. I've been wanting to say this because, and I don't mean this, I don't have any ill will or anything, but just that whole promo when him coming back, and I've seen a few people post about this more in a joking way, but if you're a girl and we've heard this speech before, let me tell you what, we've heard the speech of, essentially saying, oh, baby, I'm sorry I left. You know, this is home. You know, all that. I was in a bad place. Like, I got a little triggered to being like, where have I heard this before? Oh, yeah. That's every guy crawling back to, you know, that good girl that treated him right or whatever.
Right.
Saying, you know, he made a mistake. So
it's funny you say that, because on the Greg DeMarco show, Pat and I talked about this, Patrick O'Dowd and myself, and I posed a question to him because it to me, and I don't have the same perspective that you do, to me, CM Punk back in WWE and the way he's been so far and him claiming I've changed and all that, for me, it seems to pass the eye test.
I believe that he's changed. Some of it I think is he's forced to, because now he's under this, you know, structure where he has. And I'm not saying there's people who don't change. It's just hilarious that as a female, we've heard, I've changed, baby. I've changed. And I have not thought that that was going to talk about putting that on my bingo card. Not only did I not expect that on my bingo card, I did not expect hearing a CM Punk promo about baby, I've changed, to the point where I'm like, huh, where did I hear this before? Oh, yes. Every woman has heard of this in some capacity. That's
pretty
funny.
That is pretty hilarious. Because we obviously had a very different take on it on the program, but that's a good way of looking at it. And I, honestly, like, this is all he's got. I mean, if he wants to leave a footprint in pro wrestling, this is his only chance.
This is it. So you literally cannot fuck it up. But again, too, the infrastructure, there's so many things that are different about this that I do believe that, you know, he's going to play by their rules and their structure. And they're also going to leverage, you know, his notoriety. Like, controversy creates cash and business is business. So, you know, it's a beautiful marriage of opportunity and momentum. So, hey, you know, like I said, I don't have any ill will. It just, and I think this is actually, you know, kind of the right move for both companies or both parties involved. But I do have to admit that first promo was a little triggering when he's like, I've changed.
Like, it's funny you say that, because there was a really funny thing going around social media, because, you know, he spent a good portion of last week down in NXT. He was at Deadline, and then he went down there to training, whatever. And all these pictures were posted. And in every single picture that was posted, it's only him with women. There's not a single picture of him and, like, Bron Breakker, but there's seven with him and Cora Jade. So it's very interesting that we're in this position now, given his past reputation in WWE. And, of course, he's now married and AJ Lee and all that. But it's like, why is every picture of CM Punk with one of the women in NXT? Where's the picture with Ilya Dragunov? Like, what's going on here? So why don't we have a picture with Carmelo Hayes? So it's pretty funny in that regard. But I will say this, the whole I've changed maturity thing, looking back, a lot of things went wrong in AEW, right? A lot of things went wrong in AEW. I think there's a lot of people to blame. I think folks like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are to blame for causing it, and Punk is to blame for how he responded to it. Yeah. I don't think he caused it, but I think he responded equally at fault. There's the Elite's at fault, CM Punk's at fault, Tony Khan's at fault. Like, they're all at fault. Tony Khan's at fault for having such an operation that would allow this to happen, because it never would have even gotten to that point in WWE.
No, and it won't. It won't, no. You know?
And that's why people like the Young Bucks, who refuse to talk to Punk afterwards and wouldn't even show up for the meeting to mend the fences, they'll never make it in WWE, because they couldn't be professionals and take something like that and make money off of it, which will happen in WWE. I did love his promo when he was just like, you know, people want to see him and Kevin Owens, and he just doesn't think he can be somewhere where people just randomly punch people in the face backstage. You just don't do that in 2023.
Don't, like, do that. It's 2023.
And people thought he was making fun of AEW with that. I thought he's making fun of himself, to be perfectly honest.
I think it's a little bit of everything. Yeah. You know, I think he's making fun of the situation, of himself, of, you know.
I do think it's funny that there's reports that he wants to eventually run NXT. Which is interesting, because Cody reportedly also wants to run NXT. Cody 38, Punk 43, they probably could both get a run in NXT, because undoubtedly Triple H will eventually pluck in, you know, HBK from NXT and have him be in WWE. I'm just trying to use as many acronyms as I can here. And then CMP will run NXT, and then eventually, you know, ANCR will also run NXT. So, yeah. It's all good. But there we go. CM Punk returns to WWE. Now it's your turn.
My turn. All right. Mine is, you know, you may find this kind of predictable, but one thing I think it really did change to the trajectory of premium live events throughout the year is WWE Backlash in Puerto Rico. That whole premium live event was one of the most electric crowds in all of pro wrestling. And, of course, that's near and dear to my heart, being Puerto Rican, but it was also one of the most well-received pay-per-views of the year. And, you know, storyline-wise, match-wise, I mean, to have the moments that you had for Bad Bunny, Damian Priest, Zelina Vega, I mean, it just was, I do not know a person that didn't watch that and was not wowed by the environment in the crowd and got people so hyped. And it was exciting to be a wrestling fan watching it. And also to see the trajectory of WWE now going into more international audiences. You're not going to find an audience as hot as Puerto Rico, but to see the success that they had with Backlash and now that they're really branching out more internationally, I think is great. And if it wasn't for the success of Backlash in so many ways, I don't think other international audiences, and I use international loosely because Puerto Rico's not technically international, but the fact,
but, you know, but a lot of people think it is. So,
but a lot of people think it is. And in the context, I can understand it, but in general, just that entire show, the crowd, the event was just electric. And it was one of the proudest moments I've ever had as a wrestling fan. Puerto Rican, it just melded together so many things that I love. And it was such a big success and coup for Puerto Rico. I do really hope Puerto Rico does get at least a Raw or SmackDown again in the future. You know, premium live event at this time doesn't look like it's in the cards.
I know.
For some time.
Which it should be. Maybe something will happen in the fall. They did do that whole, you know, Fastlane and Indy and Extreme Rules and all. So they could get one of those later in the year.
They may get the later in the year. But even just a Raw or SmackDown, come on. You know, that would be a perfect crowd for that. So, and I think, again, just this the audience, a lot of people not being familiar with Puerto Rican audiences, and seeing how electric that crowd was, both for SmackDown and for Backlash, that's a lot of people have said, have more shows in Puerto Rico because of the excitement there made you at home excited to watch. And that's something that even now has been a big critique, even with WWE having you know, as crowds big as they were, when you look back at the 90s and the 2000s with crowd interaction and reactions, they just haven't been the same. And Puerto Rico just put it in a whole new stratosphere. So I just think it's a near a moment or an event or whatnot near and dear to my heart. But I also think fiscally, I think, you know, promotion wise, it did so, so well. And I just was so happy for that. And it also, I think, makes people look at Backlash as an event in a different light.
And they did a great job with many of those events this year. The thing about these international, quote unquote, international events is that many of them, the local, you know, authority, the local tourism authority are subsidizing the event. And Puerto Rico did as well. They don't just do this with wrestling. They do this with other events too. And they do it with the Super Bowl and the Final Four and all of that. Like it makes financial sense for them to do that. I'm firmly, after this year's SummerSlam, of the belief that SummerSlam is going to be the next to go to the two-night thing. Like, there were so many things they didn't do with SummerSlam this year because they only had one night. And I do think SummerSlam is going to be a two-night event. Imagine SmackDown Friday, two-night SummerSlam Raw Monday in Puerto Rico. Like, that checks a lot of boxes for me, personally. So, I say, book it, Hunter. God, there's so many things that I want to put on the list. So I'm going to go with one that I think is a bit of a surprise. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase it because it encompasses a lot of things. One of my favorite things, it's really hard to do anything different in the world of professional wrestling. It's really hard to reinvent anything. It's really hard to do something that is unique and new that wasn't there in the past. But her popularity skyrocketed in 2023, and she really did do things the way that nobody has before, to the point where no one is ready for me to say this name. Samantha Irvin has become the favorite ring announcer of so many people. And she says so many people's names in unique ways. We're recording this Tuesday, December 19th, I said before. There's literally controversy because she didn't say Chelsea Green's name on Raw last night.
Chelsea Green.
And people called her out on Twitter and she responded with, "Not my call." So that means someone told her she couldn't do that anymore. And whoever did that needs to be fired. Like, that's the best part of Chelsea Green's character. And that's not a knock on Chelsea Green, who's doing a great job. It was the way that Samantha Irvin was Chelsea Green, like that fit. Why in the world would you stop that? I don't know. But her uniqueness is something that you just don't really get to see anymore. Most announcers are just carbon copies of people who have done it in the past. And she has made it her own in a way that now people will copy her, but she's not copying anybody else. Yeah. And so it might be a surprising entry. She's on my list.
It's also just something with this change in WWE that things don't seem as micromanaged, where she does have that flexibility. That's to me the first instinct, is that there's no Vince McMahon in anyone's ear anymore saying this is what you do, how you do it. To be able to have more creative freedom in ring announcing is, you know, something that may seem so small, but that's huge in a time when for decades, you know, so many things were so micromanaged. And now, you know, both announcers and commentators have more freedom. And I would tack on things too of different insider references to other companies, like things that just could not mention or do before that now you can, because you have more of the opening for it, is big. And I think Samantha Irvin is a sign of that opening and creativity, and fans have just adapted to, you know, just been drawn to it and loved it. And it adds, you know, personality to that. And it almost is too kind of a wink to what we see more in the independent scene, with people kind of playing more on words and entrances and things like that. Whereas WWE has been, you know, here's your standard, here's, you know, who you say and how you say it. Now you get a little bit more of that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and it adds to the experience. So,
which makes me mad that she didn't do it on Raw. Like, Yeah. Like, who told her? And because I know Chelsea Green didn't tell her to stop, because Chelsea Green used to mouth it as Samantha Irvin was saying it. So I don't know who told her to stop, but I hope the backlash makes it to that person, because you made a bad choice. You made a bad decision. You can own it and you can move on from it. Let her say it like that again. Because then if they're saying she's getting too popular because of it, and my God, her husband, Zack Ryder, like, what are we doing? Like, it's just, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Doesn't seem weird, though. Like, I feel like they shouldn't go that direction. But who knows?
It just seems like a little, it's ridiculous enough of why not. Like, I just don't, it's a small detail, but a great one, mm-hmm. but to the point where you're like, no, don't do it anymore. Like, what's the?
And she still said The Miz in the way that she says The Miz's name, which mm-hmm. is also unique. So why stop one and keep, I don't know. I just, and we'll never know, but yeah. We'll never know.
All right. For my next one, this one is kind of obvious. I'm torn between two different moments that happened fairly close together. But this one, I want to say, I think as just the general fan base was impacted by this. Granted, this is something that you called, so this may not surprise you. But okay. I know that as, you know, someone who been watching WrestleMania and this story develop, thought that, you know, especially WrestleMania, you know, goes Hollywood, that you'd have a Hollywood ending. But we didn't. And that's Cody Rhodes losing the main event of WrestleMania. And I say you called it because you did. You said he isn't going to win. It's not going to happen until further down the line, which it seems like it is. But the whole idea behind this story, you know, about finishing the story and to be fair, too, you know, Cody Rhodes had been out for the second half of 2022 to come back, you know, for the Rumble to kind of tell this story so quickly, but so passionately. And fans really thought you're going to get the storybook ending. And they didn't. It was really also, I think, like a great telltale sign of the storytelling that Triple H is doing now. Long-term storytelling, weaving things in and out. And I think it was kind of a sign of what to come. But I think it was one of the more emotional moments, too, as wrestling fans. Like, we kind of feel like we can always predict how things are going to go. And when it didn't go that way, it was, you know, you felt real emotion. And that's really what WWE has been doing now, is giving you real emotions, which has felt like a rarity in the past, you know, decade plus, where mm-hmm. you kind of just go through the motions. So I think it was big for Cody, of course, but as fans, to kind of watch that and feel that disappointment and sadness and make you feel something real, that in and of itself is truly, I think, too, what the point of this people were missing. But such a big one, too. Like, it has set the whole trajectory, too, of, like, this rest of this year, of Roman's story, of other stories weaving in and out, of other challengers, of ultimately, like, you predict happening it, you know, further down the line. And it's setting up for something bigger in the long run. But not getting that instant satisfaction of Cody winning and all of that. And I think it's pretty big.
He's not winning at 40 either. So I say that. And look, if we end up with Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes at 40, Cody's winning. Like, they're not going to have him lose 2 years in a row. Like, that, I would just be wrong. I just really think that they want Roman to break Hogan's record mm-hmm. and that Cody's going to win at 41, which damn might be in London anyway. So, like, come on. That would be, like, fantastic for them to do it. Like, it could end up being at Wembley in London. Like, when they've already said they'll pay money to bring WWE out there and you know, AEW be damned. So, I do think, yeah, I think we're getting Roman and Randy at WrestleMania. I don't know that for sure. It could be Roman and Rollins as well. I don't know. I just think there's two. I just think they want Roman to break that record is all it is. And that, but I do think Cody is eventually the guy to beat Roman, just not. And everybody who says I'm crazy for saying it won't happen at 40, said I was crazy for it not going to happen at 39. And I'm like, well, you said it wouldn't happen at 39. Well, yeah, but obviously they can't do it. I'm like, he's not going to lose two straight WrestleMania main events because he's not going to be in two straight WrestleMania main events. He'll be in it at 41 and he'll win it, I believe. He might end up winning the World Heavyweight Championship at this year's WrestleMania from Damian Priest, who's going to cash in at day one and win the title. But you didn't hear that from me. But you did. That's my prediction anyway. I don't know. Okay. So, yeah, it was very emotional. It was a lot. And even if Cody hadn't been out, like it just made perfect sense. I honestly think they sandbagged a lot of 2023 with Roman, as they kind of did with Rhea Ripley, if you look at her title defenses.
Kind of right
and
now, yeah.
Because I think they have plans for both of them to hold through 41. And so I think both of them are going to ramp up a little more next year. I could be totally wrong. Roman might be leaving, might be doing whatever, and he loses at 40. And like I said, if they book Roman and Cody at 40, he's losing. Like, there's just no – Roman's losing. Yeah. Like, there's just no way they're going to have it go down the same way 2 years in a row. For me, God, there's so many, and now I have to pick just one to go on this list. Jesus, what do I want to put as my last item on my list? I don't know if this is one that you were going to have on your list. I could see it being one that you're going to have on your list, but I know we all have a million options. So I'm going to put it on the list. I know most of these have been either positive or storyline driven. But for me, it will be more of a negative or a sad, which is the passing of Bray Wyatt, which took place earlier in the year. And is newsworthy again now, but just to have, you know, such a brilliant performer, just somebody who never really, quote unquote, realized their full potential. And maybe they would have, maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe they were just too creative and complex to catch on just yet. But maybe their greatest work would have been done outside the ring. Who knows? But for Bray Wyatt to pass away and just the outpouring of support, I don't think any of us knew how beloved the human being was until people liked him, and people like a lot of people, but they love this guy. People like backstage names that people don't even know are backstage names are like, we love that kid. So yeah, it has a profound impact on people. And the reason why I say it's back in the news, of course, it was just recently revealed that he was signed to a Legends contract recently, and his family will be receiving that, which is typically at least like $1 million a year. So that's good for the, obviously the family and the kids and his wife, JoJo, and all of that. And it was revealed by his dad. So obviously it's real. And somebody replied, you know, that means he'll be in the video games moving forward, which means people can play him in the video game, which caused me to come up with the opinion that I actually shared with Patrick on our show. If I'm the people putting together the video game, he's on the cover in 2024. Like, if I'm putting the
video game. And I think there's been a lot of speculation that he would be. Yes.
He should be.
There's been speculation that he would be, if not the cover, there would be a cover.
Right.
Dedicated to him.
I think he should be the cover. And I think he should be the story mode. And I think that, and some people would view it as a money grab, but look, if it is, his family's probably going to get a portion of that. So, but it's also, you know, a way to immortalize somebody. I think he goes in the Hall of Fame this year. Like, I think all of it happens, and I think it all should. And that's kind of the direction that I see they're going to go. And I believe is going to happen. I don't know. I could find out if he's going to be like over the video game, but I'm not going to ask. But I think that's the direction they go in. And I'll say this, I think that's the direction they should go in. But his passing is something that will be forever remembered as part of 2023, for the right and wrong reasons, but gone too soon and something that will define the year.
That's a good one. We'll go over a few honorable mentions after this, because I think I'm sure we do have them. And I think it'll be interesting to mention a few, but my final one, and I was honestly, I was trying to think of some type of AEW topic, and mm-hmm. it just didn't quite.
I have one that didn't make the list, but we'll save it.
I have one that didn't make the list because I think this supersedes it in a lot of ways. And that is WWE being bought by TKO. And I just think that kind of talking to a bit about the change of direction company and kind of the other things that I've been talking about too, within WWE, all kind of revolve around this new direction. One, you know, the fact that now the McMahon family is no longer the majority shareholder, and this, you know, it's gone into this direction was something that has not happened in our lifetime. And I don't know if we ever expected it, but also in the direction that it went with now being under the same umbrella as the UFC. That is kind of a very interesting route compared to a lot of the speculation at one point when entertainment companies were in the running or supposedly in the running to buy it, that it was actually bought in now under combat sports. And so hearing just kind of the changes in evolution and even just the difference in product and all the changes that came about has been one where I think it's been surprisingly positive. And going in a direction that fans have seemed to enjoy because it's no longer under that primary oversight of Vince McMahon, and that we have a fresh perspective, but also more practical business perspective. And this has allowed for people like Triple H to take the reins of certain aspects that have really kept the product fresh, but really something that for most of our lives had been under the management and ownership of Vince McMahon and the McMahon family. And now going in a completely different direction with TKO, is a sign of WWE going into the future, you know, ensuring that this company will exist, I don't know, forever. Like truly, you know, then now forever, like now truly feels like that because of this new change in direction and ownership.
You know, it's funny because I haven't heard that phrase yet, that this ensures a company could exist forever. It also opens a possibility that it couldn't. Like I would think under the McMahons, they would make sure it never died. But say business goes so far south that TKO just has to stop, you know, like they'd be more likely to put an end to it than a McMahon would because it was their family business. And I don't think that'll happen ever in our lifetimes unless the world goes to shit, but we just had that happen 3 years ago and we're all still here. So, but yeah, I think it's very interesting and it is a huge part of it. What's really interesting is that might also end up being on the big list of 2024. Because all the TV contracts that are coming up, you know, especially with the possibility of Warner Brothers picking up Raw, and what does that mean for AEW? Where do they go? Because they would go somewhere. They deliver ratings, especially on Wednesdays. They're still like a top five program every single week on Wednesdays. It's not like nobody would pick them up. The contracts now, like it was reported that Dominic Mysterio not only signed a deal, but signed a 5-year deal. They weren't doing 5-year deals. So now are we getting into the 5-year deal territory? That's huge because that means that like, say Dominic Mysterio's deal is 5 years. Say Seth Rollins signs a 5-year contract, right? That means before Seth Rollins' contract ends, someone like Edge's deal in AEW could end and they could be back and finishing their career in WWE. Like there's just so many like 5-year deals aren't really happening right now. And all of a sudden now they are. So that's going to change the landscape of the business. All the TV stuff like Raw might end up on streaming. Who knows? Which some people think is bad. Some people think is great. To me, if it's good enough for the NFL, why isn't it good enough for WWE? So, I could see Raw being on Amazon Prime. Like there's just a lot of things that could happen. Like this is, it needed to be on the list. You're right. Because it literally changes the course of history. And how often do we see something? We see things every year that we think change the course of history, but this is actually something that will change the course of history, already has, and will continue to do so for the next, hopefully the business continues to thrive and that this is something that changes the business for the next 20 plus years, in my opinion.
Well, let's real quick do some honorable mentions before we go on break. Greg, you mentioned that you had.
I'm just going to speak from experience and show timing. We should do the break first because putting the list in order doesn't really take all that long. So, yeah, you want to do the break first.
Okay. Well, then that's what producing is for. So, Greg, let's go ahead and pay some bills.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
You just made the list!
And we are back. There was a little feedback in my
There it is.
So we are back on the Hashtag Miranda Show. We're in Morales, Greg DeMarco here, and we just wrapped up giving our three choices for our 2023 list, and now we're going to be compiling that list in order. But before we do that, we're going to mention some honorable mentions, people who just barely missed out on our list. So, Greg, you mentioned that you had one in particular, or two or three.
I have plenty. We can alternate. Things. We can do however we want. I do one thing for me. Well, I'll start here. I'll start with the AEW one. There's actually two AEW ones that I have. But the first AEW one that I have was personal, I guess. And that was going to AEW for the first time ever. Like being and seeing a live Dynamite. Even that's crazy because now the company itself is in such a different position was when we went to Dynamite. It might end up being the highest attended Dynamite of the year outside of the Grand Slam one. Because they had like 9,000 people there. Now they have like 2,000 people there. Like, it's just crazy to think of what's happened with the attendance for Dynamite and seeing it and experiencing it. And of course, the whole Evil Uno thing. And they did nothing to capitalize on that. He could have been their Mick Foley if they really wanted him to. As he, you know, lost 2 pints of blood working John Moxley. But just experiencing that and seeing the differences and being able to speak to the differences truly between WWE and AEW going there. And then of course seeing Raw, you know, a few weeks later. So very interesting to see that. The other item that I have on 2023, for AEW anyway, is what we talked about earlier. And that is the rise of Swerve and what he's become in that company, because I hope to God he doesn't win the fake Triple Crown and the Continental Classic thing, because I don't want him to be saddled with that, because he should be their next world champion. He won't be. Yeah. It'll be Samoa Joe, but he should be the one who takes it off of Samoa Joe, because I really do think, and AEW does this, people get hot and then they don't capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
They have something on their hands with him, and they have something really, really good, and they could really further help differentiate themselves, which they need to focus on is differentiation. Not being a better version of WWE, but being completely different than WWE. Different,
yeah.
And they're not trying that right now, and they need to. And Swerve, I think, would go in that direction. And do it because of how good Swerve is doing. Don't do it to prove that WWE fumbled the ball with Swerve. Do it because of what he's capable of doing for your company, not what he didn't do for somebody else's company. And I think that he's right there on the cusp of that. And it's you know, it's theirs to fuck up. And I hate putting it that way, but that's what they've proven can happen.
No, and to your point, so my AEW, one of my AEW things of 2023 is in a similar boat, and that's the direction they've taken with Timeless Tony Storm. I think that's also a really good example of someone who's done this 180 that has really catapulted in their own, starting from being as part of the Outcast and now in this character, which is a bit ridiculous and over the top, but it's magnetic. It's different. It's fun. It's entertaining. And it's such a good fit. And I think, too, in general, some of the things that they've done that are a little bit more silly in AEW that has seemed to work, you know, looking at people like Roderick Strong, you know, like, he's a bit silly now, too. But who would have known that Roderick Strong had personality after all these years and is most entertaining taking on and off, you know, in a sports entertainment type of mindset. But I love the direction they've gone with Timeless Tony Storm. And at first it seemed a little ridiculous with it, especially when they broke up the Outcast. But I also think this was a great example, too, of not everybody needs to be in a group. You don't always need to have people together. And so just even to the way that they put her promos, even when they do, you know, picture in picture with her stuff in black and white, like just those little details add to such a really entertaining character and person. So I kind of, a lot of things that you said with Swerve, I've also agree that they've done with Tony Storm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree fully. And the Outcast was a stupid thing to begin with. Like, never should have done it. This female version, this women's version of the NWO, like, just not working for me. And that's why did they really break it up, or did it just fizzle? Like, I don't even remember.
I mean, there wasn't like an official breakup. I think it's a little bit of both. Like they ended up breaking up because Tony turned kind of her back on them.
Okay.
And then, but I don't really know. I think like things with Ruby and Soraya just also fell apart too. So.
Right. And I know now Ruby's back and she's just doing whatever, but
yeah,
it's just weird. Very, very strange. Very, very strange. Was there another one you had for AEW? I can't remember.
This one, I think this is more of a broad thing. So this encompasses both AEW and WWE, and this is actually more of a concept than a moment. But I would just say this year is really one of the first years we've truly seen some big company changes, movement. So people moving from AEW to WWE, WWE to AEW. And these are not just people who were let go, you know, from their WWE contracts, like people intentionally making moves, you know, from one company to another. And when we've talked also about CM Punk, but before CM Punk, you know, Jay Cardgill, you know, that was huge for the company. Seeing, Adam Copeland come to AEW, you know, those types of things of people who had pretty lucrative and, you know, solid reigns or presences in those companies and making those switches. I really do think that this is leading into more movements that are going to be happening, you know, over the next few years. And you did kind of mention that too, with, you know, the Seth Rollins Edge example. But now we're seeing more things being kind of more seriously taken, where maybe, I don't know, and some of it may be too, TKO being a lot more open to the fact of there are going to be people that they're not going to resign for whatever reason, you know, Adam Copeland being one of them, or they're going to present someone with this deal and it's going to be a take it or leave it. And then, you know, maybe they'll see things, you know, the grass may be green on the other side, as well as they then also may be open to bringing in other people from AEW, not so much worried about, you know, you work for this other wrestling company, but just, you know, seeing the potential in them. So seeing a lot of those big changes between these two companies, I think are really showing the true potential that we're going to get between these two entities and between people going between these two companies over the next, you know, and like you mentioned with some of these contracts, possibly the next 5 years, you know, I think there's going to be some pretty contested opportunities, or there's going to be some big movements happening in 2024, but a lot of that groundwork was laid here in 2023.
I agree. It's going to be very interesting. There's so much speculation right now about MJF because some people think he's already really signed with AEW and that they're going to, you know, a word that we can't use anymore would swerve everybody when he loses at World's End and then the devil takes him out and everybody thinks how they write him out. Then a few months later, he returns to AEW and fights the devil. Who knows? Or maybe he's truly being legit and we'll see him in the Royal Rumble. I have no idea. I guess if I had to make a guess, I would say he's going to stick with AEW and has already actually re-signed with them and he's playing up the angle. And if so, good on him. I'm all down with it. All that. I don't find Roderick Strong's character the least bit entertaining. It's just me. But who knows? I just get tired of him screaming people's names. But who knows? I'm also so disappointed about where Adam Cole's at right now. So that's probably a big part of it as well. so I don't like disheveled Adam Cole either. Pat, when I put Adam Cole on my wrestling man crush list, Pat was like, the current Adam Cole or the Adam Cole you like to think
about? Oh, yeah, no.
And I was like, probably is the Adam
NXT
Cole.
NXT Adam Cole. Yeah. That's dreamy Adam Cole.
I mean, he put Rick Rude on this list. I could have been like, the current Rick Rude? Like, no, I wouldn't have said that. But
I mean, the dead one?
Exactly. Like that. yeah, that's why we don't do that. But it's just interesting. The other item that I had on my list, and it's an NXT one. There's two NXT ones, and we talked about Lola Vice already, which I think she wouldn't have made the list anyway, because I think she's going to be more of a 2024 item when she truly breaks out, quote unquote, to, you know, pun intended. But to me, the big one for NXT for me is Trick Williams. Like what he was a sideshow to Carmelo Hayes. Mm-hmm. And to the point now where we almost have Carmelo being the sideshow to Trick Williams. Like,
yeah.
And Melo's going to, you know, he's kind of already on his way up to the main roster with what they're doing with the United States Championship Tournament. But Trick, and I thought like Trick showed flashes, and I even said things and wrote things and tweeted things. Like, I thought Trick could break out at some point. But I really think they got a big star on their hands with Trick Williams. I would hate to see it, but I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up being a bigger star than Carmelo Hayes, just because mm-hmm. of size and yeah. what he can do on the main Bryson, roster. Yeah. But Trick to me is gonna be gold for this company. I really do believe. Like, you're looking at a future WrestleMania main eventer in Trick Williams. Give him time; he'll get there. And he's gonna Melo's gonna do amazing things too. Don't get me wrong. Like, they could be Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and I know that's a crazy comparison to make, but a lot of people have compared Melo to Shawn Michaels, but I think Trick is going to be huge in the coming years in WWE, and to me is one of the, if I had to pick one breakout star of 2023, it would either Trick Williams. You could put Logan Paul, but he did a lot in 2022 as well, but Trick Williams for me is a big one, and Logan Paul winning a championship was also the other mm-hmm. item that I had.
Good stuff. All right, so now that we've gone through our honorable mentions, we are going to now compile the list. So, Greg, remind our listeners, what's the rules when it comes to this portion of the list?
Also, shout out to Impact Wrestling rebranding as TNA.
I
figured it was going to be on your list.
At one point, I was going back and forth on that, but yes, that's my honorary Impact post is yes, Impact going back to TNA, announcing that they're going back to TNA in 2024. Yeah. So, shout out to them.
I'm excited. So, the way it works now is the flip of what we did before. This is Miranda's list, so we will take turns once again, except she will start by picking what's number one, then I'll pick what's number two. We'll get all the way to number six. We have our list. Now we have everything in the bucket. Now we're going to put it in order, and that will finalize the 2023 big list. So take it away.
Well, I'm going to start off by picking your number one, because I do think that is, you know, of course, not only timing wise, but still one of the biggest, you know, surprises that we had. If we were, you know, talking about this, you know, earlier this year, we would have never thought
that would have been on the bingo card.
Even if CM Punk were to have left AEW, regardless, that he would have gone back to WWE or they would have welcomed him back. But I just think that just was so much of a surprise and has really shook the landscape of both companies and what's to come, that it's hard to deny that being number one of 2023.
I agree. And I'm sure if I didn't have it on the list, you would have. Like, it's just, you know, it's just too big of a thing. That's okay, because at number two, I'm stealing one of yours, because it's just too big of a thing in the wrestling business and what it's going to mean in the future. And that is WWE being sold and purchased by Endeavor and forming TKO with the UFC. Like, that is something, like I said, we are going to see and hear about for the next 20, 25 years at least. So that to me is huge, and I would put in at number two.
So we're going to go back, and I'm going to steal something from your list, and that's your number two, and that is the death of Bray Wyatt. And not only the impact, but we don't, you know, deaths in pro wrestling happen often, but when they are somewhat considered part of the active roster, that is something that, you know, only comes every so often. And the audience reaction and the reaction of the wrestling world and just the shock and the hole that it's left is really monumental and really one of the biggest kind of shocks and sadness and surprises of 2023. But, you know, everybody kind of remembers where they were when they heard about Eddie's passing or Owen's passing. And I feel like this was one of those. Like, most people are going to remember, especially those teens and kids that, you know, grew up on him. They're going to remember where they were when they heard this and the impact that his presence, you know, has left. And really, we're not going to find anyone like him ever again. for multiple reasons, you know? And yeah. I just feel like it's made such an impact in the wrestling world that it's hard just to deny how big this was this year.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Which leaves us with Backlash, Samantha Irvin, and Cody Rhodes losing at WrestleMania. And just in fairness to all three of those things, like, I have to continue the stealing trend and steal one from you. Because I can't put my last one over those two. And between the two, honestly, the environment that was created by Backlash in Puerto Rico is something that, in a vacuum, standalone, however you look at it, I mean, most people are calling Bad Bunny's entrance the best entrance of the year of the year. Of course, you know, because Edge's stuff happened last year, so it makes sense. And just the atmosphere. I mean, they made a few mistakes. Like, that match should have been the main event. Like, that, yeah. That nothing should have followed that. And in all honesty, I know what they're doing with Rhea Ripley, and I know the rant they're putting together for her. I still think Zelina Vega should have beat her and had that moment for the crowd. Lose it right back the very next TV show. That's fine. But giving the crowd that moment, I think, is just a miss. It would have been the moment. It already is the moment of her career, but it would have been even more the moment of her career. And one of the moments of her life. I'm not going to, you know, minimize other things that have happened in her life to call that the moment of her life. But that would have been a top five moment for her in her life had that taken place. And it still was. But given the three that are left, I got to put Backlash at number four.
For number five, I got to go with Cody Rhodes at losing at WrestleMania. I just feel like that moment was just so poignant in the storytelling of the show, of, you know, his trajectory of, you know, what we've seen so far. And it was one, I mean, yeah, I think fans are still divided to this day, and I think will be, but to also have those moments and clips of seeing how disappointed Cody was. But I think too, in the end, once we see the full story unfold, it's going to make more sense. We're in the story right now, so it may not always make sense, or, you know, fans are going to be, less patient. But once the story's been told, we're going to look back at that as a moment. And I think both Cody and WWE know that.
And whether it happens at 40, like most people believe, whether it happens at 41, like I believe, and some others as well, it's going to be huge. It's not going to be a letdown if it takes the 41 for it to happen. It's still going to be huge. And it's something that will be remembered forever. And who knew when Stardust left that this could end up being a thing? Who the heck knew? So do you want me to run down the six, or do you want to run down the six in the recap?
You could run down the six.
All right.
I probably remember all of it.
You just made the list.
Well, I wrote it down because I wouldn't have remembered it. But congratulations to number one, CM Punk returning to WWE. Number two, WWE is bought by Endeavor TKO. Number three, Bray Wyatt's passing. Unfortunate and untimely. Number four, WWE Backlash in Puerto Rico. Number five, Cody Rhodes losing to Roman Reigns in the WrestleMania 39 main event. And number six, the uniqueness and rise of Samantha Irvin. To all of you, the big list of 2023.
You just made the list.
Congratulations.
I hate saying congratulations when one of them is a person passing away, but another one is a person losing. But yeah, congratulations. We celebrate
it
all.
It's just an honor to be nominated. And here we are. So, you know, we're interested in finding out what is your big six of 2023. So feel free to reach out to us on social media. You can find me, the Miranda Morales, or Miranda Morales, at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook. No Twitter, no X, no matter what you call it. I'm not on it. But you can follow Greg at GregDeMarco44 on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And thechairshot.com at Chairshot Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But go ahead and tell us, what is your big six of 2023 in all of pro wrestling? Make sure to, while you're at it, to go visit thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Your home for the Chairshot Radio Network, as well as great news and articles regarding pro wrestling, entertainment, sports, pop culture, and everything in between. And Of course, also don't forget to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own IZW and Chairshot t-shirts today. Of course, IZW is coming back in 2024 with Monster on February 24th. Make sure to go visit IZWWrestlingEZ.com and IZW Wrestling AZ on social media. Yes.
Get them tickets. It's going to be fun.
And make sure to follow IZW on social media, too, for information on match announcements, talent announcements, ticket discounts, and much, much more. And in general, don't forget to support your local independent wrestling promotion. Share their stuff on social media. Buy their merchandise. Buy a ticket to their next show. Share a flyer. There's things that you could do that spend money, that cost money. And there's lots of things that you could do for absolutely free. But independent wrestling is the lifeblood of wrestling. And it really is such a pivotal part of being a wrestling fan. One of my favorite parts. So go ahead and give the gift of independent wrestling to those around you this holiday season.
That's amazing. I love that. Give the gift of independent wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And yes, that does it for this week's episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Thank you all so much for listening. For Greg DeMarco, I am Miranda Morales. Thank you all so much for a wonderful, wonderful year. And don't forget, as always, to keep it soft style.
You just made the list.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.